come from Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels."
Encouraging to see the good number this morning. We appreciate so much this group. You've been such an encouragement to me. And just how consistently you attend, how consistently you are not ashamed to be with other Christians and encourage each other. And in many ways, I just want to encourage you to keep doing that this morning. You know, as you go through life, you really find there will be a lot of pressures put upon us. There is going to be pressure to compromise, pressure to join the crowd, peer pressure. And I want to talk to you this morning about what makes us ashamed. Of whom are you ashamed? Of what are you ashamed? And this is a way to test your heart. This is going to be a great way to test your personal growth in the Lord and to see what direction you're heading in your life. Remember who you are. Biblically, we began to look at Scripture. We'll understand that, I identify myself as a Christian. I am a dead man that's been made alive. I am one because of the sacrifice of Christ. I've been given the privilege of having fellowship with a holy God and be forgiven. And I have the privilege of having His direction. And I will, without shame, tell you, I am not my own anymore. As 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." And so it's important for us to look at ourselves and say, now, I am nothing except what God's done for me. Now, the world's going to think you're crazy. But what you're going to do is you're going to have a thankfulness, and then you're also going to have conflict. Conflict in the context of 1 Corinthians 6 and your attitude toward immorality. Conflict amongst the associations you have, but you have the blessings of God. Remember who you are. My purpose is to glorify God. You know, parents oftentimes, I know many of you young people come from such great homes. And you've had parents that, you know, they pray for you every day. They think about you every day. And I have no doubt in the heart of each of you is that you would not want to bring shame on your parents. My dad oftentimes told me when I was going somewhere away from him, he says, "Son, remember who you are." Now, that's dealing with our family, and that's a significant place to stand. But I'm going to tell you, I am God's son. And I need to remember who I am. And I didn't want to cause my dad shame when I did some things, and there are times I did cause him shame. And those were things that I had to deal with. But I don't want to cause my father shame. How do we know where our hearts are at? You know, when you became a Christian, what changed in your life? You know, I grew up, even though I had religious instruction in my home, by the time I got to high school, I did not attend church anymore. And I associated with the world, and I wanted to have the approval of the world. But later, at the end of my senior year, I began a Bible study for the first time on my own because I knew my life was empty. And it was a beautiful thing as I began to go through the Bible. I remember the book of Romans is one of the early books that I read. And I remember reading about a God that loves me. I read about repentance and mourning over sin. And Romans 6 is interesting. As I finally did yield my life to the Lord, I began to change my ways. I began to change what I looked at and what I did. And Romans says this happens to you. When you become a Christian, you now are going in a very different direction than the world. In Romans 6:20, it says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness." What fruit did you have then in those things which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and to the end, everlasting life. You know, there were times, you know, I used to joke with people and glory in people going out and drinking and getting drunk. There was a time I was going down that path. There was a time where I used to think it was good if somebody could take advantage of somebody and be able to obtain something that wasn't your own. I don't know what philosophies of the world influenced you, but I can remember my life and the idea of somebody taking their Sundays and even a Sunday night and a Wednesday night and at other times to go to church. That seemed so strange. But now that was the thing that these things, my life began to change. How I viewed everything changed. And as a result, I became ashamed to be identified with my former past. But you see, you can change this. You can go in one path, and then you can go in another path. We're going to talk this morning about being ashamed, about the value of shame. If you take the lexicon here, the particular Greek word used here in Romans, it means, translated ashamed, it means as denoting a sense of guilt and remorse, be ashamed. Or as denoting fear of embarrassment, that one's expectations may prove false, to be ashamed, to be embarrassed. And the rest of this is really talking about the various emotional responses here. There's two ideas here. You're ashamed of things that are done, and you can be ashamed of misplaced confidence, that you trust a person and they let you down. So let's talk about those two ideas. What makes you ashamed? Now, I will tell you, there will be folks here today that may look at these services and almost be ashamed at what we do. You may say, "What, Larry? You're kidding me. Somebody would come to a service like this and be ashamed?" Yes. If they're not used to certain things, I'll never forget the first time I visited a church that took the stand this church does, to just simply stand on the Bible alone. I'll never forget sitting there, and there was no instruments. And I can remember it. I heard people singing in those instruments, and it made me ashamed initially. I was embarrassed, like, "What is this? I've never seen this before." It's interesting how a person might respond due to their background, what they're used to. Now, notice there's two paths you can choose to get your moral system set up to determine things that are valuable or that they're not valuable to you. The idea of the flesh and the spirit, the flesh being our desires, the spirit being God's revealed word. Romans 8:5. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." And you go on and read this verse, it's basically saying these two things don't work together. And so there are those that say God's Word is first, I'm going to die to the Lord, I'm going to let His Word teach me, and guess what? You're going to fall down a path that is certain, that generations throughout history can follow and will follow. But it's also a path that will be the minority. You're going to have to choose to change. You're going to have to choose to deny yourself. And we as men, that's one of the hardest things to do, is deny yourself. We want to choose to feed on God's Word. Now, that'll make us different. But there are a lot of people who will look at us, and they might not be bad people. But they look at our choices and the things that we do and the things that we don't do, and they'll become ashamed. They're like, "Whoa, you're weird." So get used to that. Now there's the world, and the world's going to have the majority, and it's going to be put forth in the media, it's going to be put forth in literature, it's going to be put forth in 1,000 ways. This is normal. Man, don't you be weird. And so again, that's the battleground. Those who want to serve God and be changed by God, and those who want to be changed by the world. You know, it's interesting. Let's take a few hot topics just to throw out here as an example. I never dreamed in this country that the powers that be would want to make the practice of homosexuality something that is noble and something that really ought not to be taught against. Now notice again the battle we face. Should we be ashamed at the practice of homosexuality? or ashamed at the one who opposes homosexuality. In other words, one who quotes Scripture. I want to tell you now, brethren, you're going to be a minority, and you're going to find people in mass just criticize you by simply saying that, you know, the practice of this is sinful. Get ready. You see, another approach here as far as who do we trust? Should we put the trust in the man who teaches and stands upon the Word of God? Or shall we trust the man whom the world praises? This is an age-old battle. And again, you are going to have to choose God. You are going to have to choose to renew your mind and pray. That's what you're here for this morning. We're here wanting to have a teaching and stand that will give us strength to resist the world. The faith that God gives can overcome the world. But it's not going to be done casually. And so again, we make choices. So many ways we make choices and how we can use our thinking. Let's look at some verses now. When you come to become a Christian, you come to choose God. And when you choose God, it's not just a sentimentality, it's not just a warm feeling, but it's an idea of a changed life. It's an idea of forgiveness. It's an idea of learning the nature of God. It's an idea of constantly changing your choices. God molds you, changes you, works with you. Notice again the reactions to this. Paul talked about his own background. In 2 Timothy 1:11, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. In other words, I'm teaching God's Word. People don't like it. Notice, keep reading verse 12. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him against that day. You know, the idea of being a Christian is really one of identifying yourself with God. Everybody that followed Jesus had an easy time, didn't they? Of course not. There were those during Jesus' lifetime that turned their back on Him. They were ashamed at His teaching. There at the cross itself, and even His disciples fled from Him for a while. If you think about this today, you to become a follower of Christ, you are going to be put to the test. Are you ashamed of Him? Or will you stand with Him? Now notice the mindset, verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words, which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Look at Psalms 25. We sing this. Beautiful Psalms. Look at this. Notice that the confidence in God, the battle with the world, but the confidence you had, you know why you're doing what you're doing, where you're going. Psalms 25, 1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. And the idea here is that God, I know your promises you'll keep. I know you'll be with me. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. There's a great article in the bulletin. I'd like you to get a hold of it. And it's the idea of, are you a seeker? We need to constantly be seeking. We need to be constantly be saying, Lord, help me, change me. Let me learn your ways. We've got the voices of the world, the loud voices of the world, the associations of the world that tempt us to pull away from God. And there we have the voice of God. Oh, Lord, I trust in you. I'm not going to be ashamed of you. And so it's very interesting here. And I challenge every one of us. Are we this people that's not ashamed of God? You know what you do when you're not ashamed of God? You're not afraid to talk to Him to others. Now, I'll tell you now, if you rejoice in God and you talk about God and His Word is in you and you just want to talk with everybody, you want to do it wisely, but you are just bursting out from the insides, I want to talk about the Lord. I will tell you now, you're going to have a lot of people that once they get to know you, they don't have anything more to do with you, okay? Understand that. And there'll be those that you'll reach, and there'll be others that love you for that. But remember, here's going to be the battle of relationships and perspective. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be sanctified the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Serving Christ is not some casual thing. You don't change casually. You change from examination. You change from testing. But again, let me tell you, you're not going to win popularity contest. People are not going to want to be around you. People, you may talk about the Lord and they're going to think, ooh, you know, I don't want to hear this. And 1 John 4 talks about this, again, of the world of Christ. In 1 John 4:4, it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as the world, and the world hears them. Now, brethren, you know, I'm not telling you, when we talk about some of the hot-button issues we talk about, like homosexuality, I mean, it's really not my goal to engage the world on that subject. I could. And if given the right circumstances, I'll talk with people about that. I'm not telling you to go out here to the world and try to talk about every hot-button issue, but I am telling you, don't be ashamed of the Lord. And you need to talk the gospel to others. And then wisely, I'm not saying just come up to everybody and just start off that conversation like that. But as you do that, you know, we don't like to be rejected. We don't like to feel like we're isolated. We don't like to feel that we're different, but that is simply part of that process of loving God. You've got people here that stand with you. Don't forget that. These services are so important because you've got people that are just like you. You want to go to heaven. You want others to go to heaven. You want others to know the Lord. You love God's law. But again, there are going to be those. They're going to shut their ears to you. And I ask you, don't be ashamed. Build your faith in God. Understand there are those that hear. Now, let's talk about whom are you ashamed of. Now, again, you have different moral systems that you put together. And could I tell you, and I'll tell you plainly, there are religious, there are churches, synagogues, groups that exist in the world of various religious systems that are of the world. And so, again, as we think, well, so now we're talking about people who serve God. They'll listen to us. Well, no, not necessarily. Here Jesus told his own followers in John 16:2, it says, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. Now, why is that happening? Here are people following God and people trying to kill him. How could that happen? Well, they killed Jesus. The religious standard and the common accepted religion at that time, Judaism, which was of God, but what the people were doing and the people that were within that, there were many of them that didn't know God. Only a few knew God. And so as you begin to say, well, surely with religious people, they'll listen. No, not necessarily. And so again, you may again be pressured to be ashamed. You know what happens when you trust in somebody that is very eloquent? When they brag on you, when they may flatter you, and they may find ways to make you feel important, but when you trust in somebody who truly is not trusting in God, you know what you're going to find out over time? You're going to be put to shame. See, in national matters in the Old Testament, Israel was told, trust God. They wanted to preserve their nation. They want to have prosperity in their nation like nations should do. But God says, you trust me. Don't trust in chariots. Don't trust in people. Don't make these alliances with nations. And what did they learn? Isaiah 20:5. Then they shall be afraid and ashamed of Ethiopia, their expectation, in Egypt, their glory. By the way, that's probably a good idea about politics too today. Politics, look, our politicians, the other countries we have alliances with, those things mean nothing. Worldly people will disappoint you. Worldly people will promise you things. Worldly people can make you feel good for a while, but let me tell you, if they don't have the promises of God and fellowship with God, they're going to let you down. Now let me tell you one of the main points I'm preaching the lesson this morning. Don't be ashamed of your brethren. Now, Brett, look, we fall short, and we do things that, of course, that we're ashamed before God for our sin in falling short. I'm not saying your brethren are perfect. We're not perfect. But what I want to talk to you about this morning is don't be ashamed of your brethren who walk by faith. You know, I worry sometimes when I begin to see people start pulling away from Christians. I'm not criticizing anybody sitting in the balcony. I appreciate you're here. But sometimes I see people that they stop even sitting amongst Christians. They sit up in the balcony, and then next thing you know, they stop attending. And maybe there are other ways they do that. They just stop attending. But you start seeing people pulling back from Christians, and you begin to ask questions. And sometimes they may tell you the truth and sometimes they don't, but there are sometimes there are people that, you know, they're just kind of getting tired of fighting the world. They're getting tired of this emphasis on being at all the services. They're getting tired on this narrow path and whatever moral standards, you know, that may be put out in the Scriptures. There are people that are starting getting tired of that. And you know what they end up doing? They become ashamed of their brethren. And let me tell you what they're doing. They're being ashamed of God. And sometimes you'll start seeing that process. And when I talk about somebody who's doing that process of pulling back, there's something changing in their minds. You know, I know in raising our children and in living our own lives, the challenge we find in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things shall be added to you. One of the things that my children had to face is there were those amongst their own associates raised by Christians that wouldn't stand in things that my children chose to stand in. Not that we're always right, and I'm not trying to somehow say we're great and others are not, but I'm saying there are times, let's say somebody may decide they don't want to participate in cheating in school, and there are others that want to do that. There will be those that say that we're going to go on a trip for some social purpose, and we're going to attend the Lord's church. We're going to be there to have the Lord's Supper. We're going to be there. And there are others that won't do that. There are events that go on within school that involve things that may involve things that a Christian really shouldn't be doing in terms of certain kinds of dancing and participation in alcohol. Anybody who's lived very long will sometimes find, well, surely, you know, all Christians are going to stand with Christians who take a stand, and you're going to find out many times, for whatever reason, you may be in a minority. Don't you be the one looking down on Christians walking by faith. Don't you identify with the world and laugh at them. I'll never forget working with new Christians. When I was work that I was at years ago in Selma, we had like 20, 25 baptisms in a 2 to 3 year period. And I can remember one new convert. He was the quarterback for the team. And he legitimately obeyed the gospel. And he was young and immature. And I can remember we were trying to have a study and trying to do things to get some of his friends to become Christians. And him and some of his friends that were not Christians were in another room. And I heard laughter. And I walked in. And immediately I saw this new Christian kind of look down with a red face. He was kind of embarrassed that I walked in the room at that time. They had told a joke and he had laughed at it. He shouldn't have. And he was learning. He was a new Christian. But that's one of the things that you'll sometimes find with local churches. In the news recently, there was a church that decided that they were going to add a woman preacher to their group of preachers. Now, those of you who have not maybe had background in Scripture, maybe haven't looked at 1 Corinthians 14, as you look at Scriptures, I really do believe that women really are not from Scriptures to be those that would be preaching. But you see, there are those that within the church now, they make changes doctrinally. And oftentimes what they're doing, they're wanting the applause of the world. They won't give you Scripture for what they do. You see, we're taking a stand here. We're not trying to say we've got it all right and everybody has it wrong, but we know the Lord is right and we're taking a stand. Let's just stay within Scripture. You're going to find yourself to be pretty lonely, I'm afraid, even in the religious world, even amongst those that call themselves Christians. 1 Peter 4:11 says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And so I don't want to paint a bleak picture here. This is the way to serve God. Trust and obey. Stay within His Word. But I'm telling you, at every step there will be conflict. And the greatest hurt I've always found has not come from the world, but it's come from my own brethren. And so again, this is a stand that is right. Don't let men cause you to pull back from what is right. You know, look at Paul. I want to talk to you. Let's say if you lived in the first century, have you ever imagined yourself, I'm living in the first century, man, I would support Paul. If I lived in the first century, I would stand with him, I would want to financially support him, and I'd want to identify with him. Are you sure you would? Now let's suppose today the Apostle Paul was here and he got arrested and he was in the jail. Let's say the Opelika jail. And he'd been arrested for preaching the gospel. I know that we're not at that point to get in our country, but just imagine that. Who's your preacher? Apostle Paul. Well, he's in jail. I kind of read about him in the paper. Quite a preacher you got there. And you know what you find is that as Paul stood, there were different reactions to him. Now, why would somebody throw Paul in jail? Because he taught what was right. He challenged the sins of those, urged them to repent. He talked about Jesus as the Lord to those that didn't want to hear that. There were all kinds of people angry with Paul. Most of the people would have classified Paul's preaching as too provocative. And there were brethren that pulled back from him, commonly. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 14, it says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You must also beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Look at verse 16. This is so sad to me. At my first defense, no one stood with me. Let me tell you, he's talking about brethren. No one stood with me. But all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. I'm going to tell you, brethren, I have confidence in you. I am glad you're here. I believe you've got those that will stand with you. You're going to have a lot of people that will. But could I tell you, don't be surprised sometimes when people don't. Hopefully they'll grow. Hopefully they'll learn. Keep looking at this. Paul was thankful for brethren that stood with him. 2 Timothy 1:15, this you know, that all of those in Asia have turned away from me. What? All of those. As you do right, sometimes again, your own brethren will disappoint you, but not everybody turned away. Now, let me show you some who didn't. He goes, among who are Phygellus and Hermogenes, he says, the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. You may surprise. Now, I take a stand for the Lord, man. Others are going to stand with me. Not necessarily. But Onesiphorus was not ashamed of Paul. Verse 17, but when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day, that you may very well know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. Who are you ashamed of? You know, brethren, I want to speak this carefully because I do appreciate, I really do appreciate feedback. We constantly talk about what's our best way to do our services. And I appreciate, brethren, sometimes saying, hey, I'm bringing a visitor. They're of this background. I like to know that. I like to be able to present things wisely. I am in no way offended by somebody coming up to me. And many of you we've worked with on those areas. And I'll talk with you later. How did that go? How did your visitors go? So I'm not against, you know, getting some feedback in terms of our visitors to services. But let me also say that I'm afraid sometimes we have those that really don't want certain things taught against publicly. Now, there's a difference with wisely dealing with someone that you're trying to work with and finally deciding you don't want certain things preached on. And let me tell you what happens when we have that mindset. Normally, people go another path. This congregation is going a certain direction. We want to make sure it's the Lord's direction. We're not going to arrogantly lower our heads and say we can't. We'll talk about that. We want to talk about everything that we do. But let me tell you something. Not every brother or sister in Christ wants to go the direction that we're going. And there are other places you can go to have another kind of direction and another kind of teaching. Notice Paul challenged Timothy here. Now, could you imagine Timothy? Paul baptized Timothy. But Timothy was fearful. Timothy was one, I don't know exactly what his fear would be like, but I see some of my brethren, somebody's upset. We may lose somebody. Oh, somebody doesn't think we're doing things. And they're going, oh, something's wrong. Well, make sure you're walking by faith. Notice here 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now look at verse 8. This had to sting. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. There's a difference between wanting to wisely work with somebody and being ashamed of what God teaches. Let each of us challenge our own heart as to where we are. The bottom line in everything that I say, and really if you want it, the foundation, is don't be ashamed of God. We have some of our students, I like to talk sometimes about different places that our students have come from. And there was one congregation in Alabama, they took a stand and decided to talk about denominationalism. And they had this meeting and they divided people to it, and they took a manual of a very well-known religious group and kindly contrasted what that manual said and what the Bible taught. There were people baptized. There were many people came and visited. Were very excited about the study. But then guess who was disappointed? There were some in that congregation was disappointed. We shouldn't do that. You know, as I began to look at knowing God, you know, when you talk about knowing God, you're talking about knowing light. Light that changes. Light that challenges. And you have a mindset, I want the truth. Goes back to that article. Are you a seeker? In verse 19 it says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light. We want to have that mindset. I'm not perfect. I don't have every conclusion perfect. But let us open the Word of God. And never be ashamed of that. And you know, I think one of the challenges we face sometimes, it may be the difference between somebody who's had to fight and make faith their own. And sometimes there are those raised in the church, and that's a greater advantage, frankly. But sometimes we haven't yet made faith our own. We almost want to accept what our parents believe, and we haven't tested it. There's a big difference in mindsets here. Every one of us needs to love the light and needs how to learn how to stand. Notice again, Ephesians 5:8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. What makes you ashamed? Well, verse 12 says, for it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed, are made manifest by the light. For whoever makes manifest is light. Light, truth, right, wrong. That is just the mindset of the Christian. We can't be ashamed of the light. Because once you start walking down the pathway that you're ashamed of the light, you're ashamed of God. As 1 John 1:5 says, describing the nature of God, God is light, and to Him is no darkness at all. You come into the fellowship of God, He's going to show you your motives. He's going to show you where you're at. And again, He'll forgive you. He'll provide for you. But you can't have this idea, I can never be wrong. You can't have this idea that if I'm going to study Lord and follow the Lord, there's never any rebuke. No, 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 no. There's rebuke. There's encouragement. There's fellowship. There's love. There's various things He gives you. But you cannot be a follower of God and be ashamed of His Word. The Bible says we love His commandments. We love God. We keep His commandments. We talk about determining who is true and what is true. 1 John 5. You see, when I follow God, I'm trusting Him. Lord, I want Your way. I'm going to trust You and Your character. I'm going to give my entire life to You. And I'm just not going to try to figure everything out on my own wisdom. I'm going to let Your Word direct me. Again, look at some more verses. Beautiful verses. Read these verses. Study them. Meditate upon them. Is this you and me? Psalms 119:5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all Your commandments. Later on, Psalms 119, verse 46. I will speak of Your testimony before kings. Have you ever dreamed of being in the presence of somebody great? Ever dreamed about being in the presence, maybe of the president or someone else? Would you talk to them about the Lord? Here's, say, look, I love your word so much. If I'm in the presence of a king, I'm going to talk about you. I will speak of your testimonies and before also before kings and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. Verse 78, let the proud be ashamed, for they treat me wrongfully with falsehood. But I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me, those who know your testimonies. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. Are you getting the point? Verse 116, uphold me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. When you serve God, you will never, ever, ever be ashamed. And you say there's something about the people that do that. You know, if you came at me and said, Larry, I disagree with your lesson, you know what I would say? Wow, what did you learn? Tell me. Let's look at Scripture. You won't find me defensive. In classes, we've tried to urge people, look at people, learn to reason from Scripture. Don't be afraid to be tested. We serve a God that wants us to be honest and open and communicate. By the way, in a local church here, again, I emphasize this, somebody's disappointed with something, we talk about it. We just don't cut and run. That's what the world does. Let's run from examination. Let's run from testing. By the way, one thing we try to do here, other churches I've been a part of, they will make this statement. If we're teaching something wrong, let us know. Not many churches are making that statement anymore. But we're going to try to, and I hope that we will honestly stand on what we say. You see, when you don't have light, you end up doing things in the background. You know, if you don't have a biblical doctrinal core, relationships are going to determine where you go. There are people, I've had people come in congregations, they're very happy with things, very excited, and then a relative comes in and they're embarrassed, and next thing you know, they're not happy anymore. Relatives come into town, they won't be here anymore, and then something's wrong. Well, are you following God or are you following people? In Psalms 1:1, notice here that the difference between the godly man and the man that's taken by Satan and by relationships. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. By the way, the counsel of the ungodly will never be in the open. It's always in the background. Nor stands in the paths of sinners. You begin to have relationships that you want more important than God. You're going to be standing with them, not with your brethren. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Ultimately, people in the background want to get you angry, get your passions stirred. What's the alternative to this, verse 2? But as the light is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. One day we're going to stand before our God. We've already read a passage in your hearing, but one day at Judgment Day, you'll stand before a holy God, and I want to tell you one thing I hope you won't see. I don't know how God will appear before us, whether it'll be Jesus Christ in the form of a man appear before us, but one thing that I don't want to see when my name is called, I don't want to see Him blush and look down in shame at the calling of my name. Mark 8, verse 38, Jesus said this, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Don't be ashamed of his word. You know, we go back and look at the life of Christ. You think of it one more time. Christian, I'm going to tell you something. We can live abundantly in this life. I do believe many of you are so encouraging to me in the positive attitude you have and your willingness to stand. That's one thing I love about young people. Young people, oftentimes, they very much get it in this area. And they're not afraid. Matter of fact, they don't like something they don't consider to be radical. And we speak of radical, that which goes against the world. You understand. If it's valuable, you stand for it. But look at Jesus. Isaiah 50 is one of the servant songs, like Isaiah 53, dealing with Jesus and what He did when He came to this earth. In Isaiah 50 and verse 6, it says, I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. Do you see how Satan tried to make Jesus ashamed? Ever had anybody spit in your face? Ever been taken through false trials and publicly stripped of your clothes and proclaimed guilty. And they took two well-known criminals and put them on each side of Jesus. They tried to shame, 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 shame. They tried to win the public relationships battle that this is a bad man. We'll never have to go through something like our Lord. But notice how he overcame. He had a mindset. He had a mindset. The Bible describes that his face was like a flint. He went through all of these things. Matthew tells us about the fulfillment of this. But he was determined. Look at Ephesians, Ezekiel 3. Here's the passage talking about Ezekiel. Ezekiel was living at a time amongst God's people where the whole bulk of them was going off the edge. Only a few were going to stand. But there were those few who could stand. In Ezekiel 3 and verse 8, notice what he said. And he'll say this for us too. He'll help us here. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, or to be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. We need flint heads. You don't be ashamed of the stand that you've taken in the Lord. You don't be ashamed when you're left out. You don't be ashamed when people gossip about you. We need people that are going, you may say, well, you're stubborn. Well, no, I'm trusting God. But if you'll appear as stubborn to the world and let them ridicule you, let them bring on the shame, and you'll stand just like Jesus stood. And that's why I look back again. I go back to the church. We talked about this in Bible class. There were some good Facebook posts this week about a church, like I say, that started to do this. And there's a lot of people surprised at that. It hasn't surprised me at all. If you go back and you look at that church in Nashville that people have been talking about and the particular preacher, I've followed this guy for years. This didn't come overnight. The reason why this church got to the point that it was, long ago they stopped trying to teach on anything that would be controversial to men. They decided that what we want to do in our public services is never preach in a way as to offend. Well, what happens is, well, you can get more people coming and you'll offend God, but you won't offend men. You've got to determine what comes first. And so here is this, you know, the world can mold us. We can abandon God's teaching because somebody gets offended by it. And yet you never stop changing because you're now looking at men and not looking at God. You know, brethren, it may be we ought to be ashamed in this. I like how this verse puts it. We should be ashamed if somehow we've gotten our heart away from God and we're really worried about what people think. 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says, be diligent to present yourself to prove to God a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I've been so encouraged lately. So many of you, with Ryan and myself and others, I appreciate these spirits that so many of you have. When you don't understand something, there are many of you asking questions, pursuing studies. That's the attitude. Some people say, well, I don't understand something, I'm going to quit. No. If you don't understand something, learn. Go after it. Pursue it. You know, and you may say, I remember when I first became a Christian, I remember in a Bible class and all these people having all this knowledge and I didn't know anything. I was ashamed. But what I decided to do is that I'm going to learn more. It's okay to be ashamed, to understand that, you know, there's more growth to come. You let that turn for good. But you don't be the one who's been in the church many years and you don't even know the books of your Bible. Don't be the one that's been in the church many years and you can't even find the plan of salvation in the Scriptures to talk with someone. You ought to be ashamed at that. But it really goes back down to trusting God. Who are we? In your heart of hearts this morning, who are you? On a negative side, we read about one church that God called out. He called out hoping they would repent. In Revelation 3:1, it says, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you're dead. Now why did he tell them this? Turn around, repent. Get fired up. Change your way. Get back into the Word. Don't be ashamed. Get closer to your brethren. I like how it's put this way in Romans 1:16. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You see, we make choices in this life. We need people in our life. We do. We're social people. But you can have a faith where you're going to be determined that the people you're going to bring into your life are going to be people that also are flint heads, just like you. You're going to have those kind of people that you're going to be with. And regardless if you're forsaken, and how many Bible characters do we find they appeared to be utterly forsaken, and they were never utterly forsaken. But you're not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I don't know where the attack may come, how it may come. The nature of God, the existence of God, his moral standards, whether we're talking about, like we talked about today, about the gay and lesbian questions and other things that come up. Look, I'm going to stand with God. I'm not going to let this world break me down. And I want to show you what Paul, look at Philippians 1, Philippians 1:20. It says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now Christ may be magnified in my body, whether by life or for death, for to me to live and for me to live is Christ and die is gain. See, one way you can overcome shame is that sometimes, let me tell you one thing that happened over time. There's sometimes people are ashamed of you, they'll turn around and they'll want to open their heart to you. I can remember years ago when I first was starting to try to follow the scriptures. I was working at O'Neill Steel. I was working and loading rail cars with cranes, you know, big old beams of steel. We'd be out there in the summer. I was working with another fella. And he drove right by my house going to work, but I was the kind of guy, I mean, this is what I was, and I'm not trying to boast about me, but this is just, I was very zealous about God's Word, and I'd like to read my Bible during lunch. I'd like to try to get studies with others. And when I suggested that we might ride together going to work, he wouldn't do it. He just didn't want to do it. But a few weeks later, I'll never forget this, we had a break in the rail car, and he opened up to me, and he told me about his friend who had been drunk, and then he had this terrible accident, and he came upon the accident during his dying moments. He told me in descriptions of what happened, and then he started opening up to me. He was initially ashamed of me, but in time, he started giving me a ride to work, and we got into a chance to study the Bible. And that's what I'm talking to you about. You know, not everyone that's angry with you, sometimes they may come back and open their hearts to you. You live for the Lord. You're not doing it for man. I know you and I, we want to have everybody love us. But what we're going to do more than anything is we want to glorify God in our lives. And we'll conclude the lesson with this beautiful scripture, Romans 10 and verse 11. I'm going to believe what I believe because of the Lord. I'm going to live the way I live because of the Lord. I'm always going to be open. I pray that I don't come across as arrogant. It's my way or the highway. But I'm going to live and stand in what I stand with because of the Lord. What will that bring in my life? What kind of jobs will I get? Will I not be able to get certain jobs? What kind of friends will I have? Who will I marry? Trust in the Lord. Romans 10:11 puts it this way. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. Interesting study. A lot more verses we could look at. It's a good test of the heart. Which direction are we heading? Who do we choose to associate with? What makes us embarrassed? This will be a good test for us to think back and see what relationship we have with the Lord. This morning we offer an invitation. And I pray in my preaching this morning that I have not come across to tell you that Christianity is just some kind of ugly place where you radically stand and everybody hates you. Maybe that's a perception. But I'm going to tell you that Christianity is a wonderful thing, a wonderful stand where you find peace with God. And it's a process, it's a painful process as you grow and change, but that's the very nature of it. We have pain, we repent, we have forgiveness, God molds us, He's always working with us. There's a initial step into Christ. If one wants to become a Christian, the Bible says in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, that we are buried with Him in baptism into death. And that we're raised up from that watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life. There is an initial conditional promise. Being able to be justified by faith that begins the walk. Have you yet to put on Christ in baptism? Have you yet in trust in God turned from your sins, wanting to receive that free gift of salvation, submitted yourself as those on the day of Pentecost did to be immersed for the remission of their sins? Christian, the continuing process we have is that as we serve the Lord, that repentance is always our challenge. God will forgive us. We turn to Him, we walk by faith, we confess our sins. The Bible says He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But let's remember, we never get away from that daily repentance, that daily molding, that daily looking at the light. If you'd like to join us today in a fellowship in light, that invitation is extended to you. If you need to respond in any way, would you come as we stand and sing?